It's been quite hard for me to prepare this message because it speaks to my heart as well. It's really challenging. And I don't want to underplay or overplay what I'm about to say, but I believe it is important. I've been reading through Ephesians, and there's many wonderful passages in Ephesians that really explain to us the grace and the love of God, his heart towards us. But it's talking about our relationship with him. It's our response to him. And I'm talking about grieving the Holy Spirit this morning. It's quite a serious topic. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody speak on it. But I want to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, what that means for you as an individual. And I don't want these thoughts just to be my thoughts and to be a heavy burden upon you. Because there's always, when we come into relationship with God, his heart is always towards us. It's always towards ministering to us and growing us. And sometimes we just need to listen to some directive input around that. We often talk about the Christian life as being a disciple. That is, one who follows the teaching of Christ. So we know that salvation is just confessing your sin and asking God to forgive you. That's step one. Many people never move from that because they don't understand the process of discipleship. We are the ones that follow the teaching of Christ. And we've said for many, many years here, if what you believe doesn't change the way that you behave, then you don't believe it. And that's quite a difficult thing to apply to our hearts. You see, the purpose of salvation is that it transforms us. It changes us. It changes everything about us. And we begin this lifelong journey when we are born again. Our hearts are renewed and we commit to following Jesus. And Jesus said these words, "If you love me, keep my commands." That's fairly straightforward, isn't it? But it's not quite as easy to do. So what is it? What is the tension that's brought to our hearts when he's commanding us to do things and we feel, I don't want to do that? And there is this internal tension that goes on. Our thinking, our speaking, our values, the passions we had for life should be all transformed by our commitment to God. We should be different people. And we've been talking about that since January, that when we are born again, when we are a disciple of Christ, those around us should know that. Not just because of what we say, but because of the way we behave, because of the fruit that we are growing in our lives. In Ephesians 4, which is where I'm going to speak from this morning, we read about the cultural behaviours that were prominent at the time. These behaviours, I suppose we could define as the fleshly man, the human part of who we are. And Paul is telling the church that as believers, our behaviour should be different than this. Ephesians 4:1 says this, "Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." That's a strong statement to make. Be worthy of God in your life. Demonstrate that by the way that you behave. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. God wants to work in us and through the Holy Spirit has provided us with a helper that enables us to be more Christ-like. If we try and live our lives without the import and impartation of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to fail. The Word tells us that. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to enable us to live a Christian life. And we have looked at the fruit of Spirit over the past months and see how when we are connected to the vine, the Holy Spirit grows fruit in us. We call it the fruit of the Spirit that represents the character and the values of the kingdom of heaven. We work with the Holy Spirit and he directs our paths. That's a very close relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. This growth curve is what produces maturity in believers and makes us effective in our Christian walk. we bear fruit, and we stand firm in our faith. Says that, doesn't it, in Ephesians? When you've done everything, stand firm. Be determined in your heart that you are not going to let go of this salvation, of this faith that God has given to us. And circumstances sometimes come along and they want to knock us off our feet. Stand firm. I'm going to trust in God no matter what. Jane was telling us this morning about a walk that she did. Have you ever been on a walk and go, I've had enough of this, I want to go home? I've had enough, I want to go home. I know where I want to go, but it's too far. I'm not going to make it. I just want to go home. And in our Christian walk, we can often recognise the pull of the old man, the pull of our flesh, because we are on this journey where we are going home to heaven. But we are disciples, we are followers of Christ, and we're on this journey. And sometimes it feels hard. And sometimes we want to go back to the old man, to that flesh, where we want to live by our own values because we're comfortable with that. That's where we've come from. And if you ever stop walking, we easily slide into old behaviours. We stop listening to the Holy Spirit and rely on ourselves, and we go back to who we were before we encountered Christ. And then sometimes we wonder why we're stuck in a rut and feeling isolated from God. I don't know whether you've ever experienced that. I certainly have. We can just merrily go on and in our own understanding and think, where's God in all this? I don't feel that he's connected with me. And we can become in a life rut. I'm going to read this scripture now. This is Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who steals or has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. As disciples of Christ, we have a responsibility to understand what God requires of us in order that he can continue working in us and grow fruit in our lives. We're always talking about working out your own salvation. Each of us who is born again has a responsibility to understand what God is calling us to. What is he challenging us with? And where are we going? We need to know who our God is. It says that we are to be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1 says this: follow God's example, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. In one of the versions it says there, be followers, but be imitators. Follow God's example. Be as God would be. And that's the call on our lives. What does this mean? Well, it means we can't do what we want. We're here to serve God with a willing heart, to be willingly obedient, and to respond to the call of God placed on us, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. He is given to us to encourage and grow us, challenge us, empower us to live the life that brings the kingdom of heaven to earth. We pray, don't we, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And how do we think that's going to happen? Through me and through you. So in our lifestyle, in the way that we live, in the way that we respond to God, we are actually bringing the kingdom of heaven down on earth, and other people are observing that and experiencing something that is different, something they don't see anywhere else. They're to experience the kingdom of heaven on earth through us. It says that the Holy Spirit is our helper, not our driver. The Holy Spirit doesn't drive. He doesn't force. He doesn't make us do anything. He leads and we must follow. He speaks and we must listen. He challenges us and we must respond. As believers, as disciples, we've got to be committed to the cause. Our hearts have got to be in this. If you're doing something half-hearted, it always ends up broken or not working. In our service, in our relationship with God, we've got to do it with a heart that is willing. See, I've written here, this is a heart thing, not a love thing. What I mean is we do it because we're connected with God. We're doing it because we are giving our will to Him. We are being obedient. Not because we feel that God loves us. I don't know about you, but you know, the love of God is something that is everlasting. It's bigger than we ever can imagine or think. It's not a feeling. And sometimes we want to feel stuff before we do stuff. And as we journey with God, we begin to mature and understand the depth of the love of God. And we're going to connect with God with our heart because we love Him. There's a couple of things I want to read from Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. And verse 24 says this, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He's encouraging, he's directing the church at Ephesus to be different, to think about their behavior, think about where they've come from and put on their new self. It's an effort. This is how you used to be, but I want you to be like this. I want you to put on the new self. Ephesians 4:25 starts with, therefore. Therefore. And my dad, who was a Bible teacher, always used to say, when it says therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for. And it's there to teach us about where we've come from and where we're going to. We are required to do something because of all that Christ has done for us. We can't live how we used to live. We can't live like anyone else. We must live in the new kingdom to which we have been called. And in the scriptures it says this, if you are a new creation, if you are a believer, if you are one that is following me, if you are my disciple, then don't tell lies. Tell the truth. I don't know whether that challenges anybody, but sometimes lies or untruths so easily slip from our tongue. That's how we used to live. If you're angry, deal with it before the end of the day. Seek forgiveness, seek reconciliation, deal with it. It says otherwise you're giving space for the enemy to live in. If you ever have become angry, and almost you can feel your self-control being taken away from you, it's an open door for the enemy to come and live there. You've got to deal with it. Don't steal. Find work. Don't use hateful or destructive words. Use words that build up. Words really hurt, don't they? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will really hurt me. Words are so important. Use positive, encouraging words. And as we go through our daily life, we come across situations where we could so easily fall into how the world responds. These actions require a decision. Am I living as a child of God or doing my own thing? See, the way we live impacts our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Like any relationship, it needs commitment from both sides. And I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is totally committed to each of us here this morning. He wants to live in our hearts. He wants to be our helper, our encourager. He wants to be our counselor. He wants to be our empowerer. He wants to guide us into all truth. But are you totally committed to him? And we come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We have a responsibility in this relationship that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And this, as I've kind of studied around this, there is Greek and Aramaic that explain to us really what that is. I don't know whether you've ever been grieved by somebody. It means to cause injury, pain, upset, distress caused by disobedience. We all know that feeling when you're trying to help somebody and your efforts are not listened to. Those of us that are parents understand what that means when you're trying to guide somebody, you're trying to input into their lives and they go, I'm not interested in what you've got to say. And it does something in here. It grieves our heart. The Bible is telling us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to deliberately go against what he's leading us into. As we read in the Bible, there's many, many characters who have caused grief or grieved the Holy Spirit. Look at David, who committed murder and adultery. He knew he shouldn't have done, but he did. Jonah, who didn't want to go to Nineveh, says, I'm not going there, would have grieved the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira, which are New Testament, they grieved the Holy Spirit and paid for it with their lives, if you want to read that story. And the Aramaic part is, see, God wants to do something with us. He wants to take us from this point of salvation and grow us. You see, when God looks at our lives, he knows what he can create in us. He knows that it's, however we think about ourselves, God thinks bigger. And it does say in Ephesians, doesn't it, that he can do more than we can imagine or think. And that's how God wants to impart to our lives, so that we don't limit him in what he's trying to do. And the Aramaic is that if you grieve me, you will limit what I can do in you. You'll limit what I want to try and achieve in you. It means that you can't be completed in this relationship. God is wanting to complete us. It's part of his mission in our lives to bring us to completion, to grow us in who he is, to grow us into maturity so that we become strong men and women of the faith. So if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we're not allowing him to work in our lives. So the way that we live and the decisions we make have an impact on our relationship with God. And we see that as we look at the Old Testament and the relationship that the Israelites had with God was, it talks in the New Testament, it teaches us about our relationship with God. It teaches us about what God is trying to do in us. And this is what it says in Isaiah 7:13. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?" We can so easily try God's patience by the way that we behave. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63:10, yet they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit, so he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. So because of the fact that they grieved the Holy Spirit, God, he just had to let go of them and allow things to happen to that nation that would have brought them back to God. And sometimes when we do grieve the Holy Spirit, things happen because he's trying to bring us back to himself. And very often that's through pain, of however we describe that. But painful things often point us straight back to God when we are grieving the Holy Spirit. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit by the decisions we make, and he has a diminishing impact on our progression as a Christian. Each of us is in control of what we do in our relationship with God. We can be obedient, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth and grow us, or we can be disobedient and limit the impact of what the Holy Spirit can do. So there is a cost to this relationship with God, and it's to take up our cross every day, where we crucify the things of the flesh, where we face the challenges, where we want to go back and do it our way, but we can't. We've got to do it God's way. That's being obedient. That's loving God by being obedient. And he leads us to this place of holiness and righteousness. That's the way we live. We're supposed to live pure and blameless and sacred lives. Righteousness, willingly conforming to the revealed will of God. Right behavior. He wants us to be pure and blameless. He wants us to behave as we are living in the kingdom of heaven. Ultimately, it's our decision whether we listen to the Holy Spirit or not. The less we listen, the more we go back to fleshly decisions. If we choose to do our own thing, then we begin to grieve the Holy Spirit and limit his action in our lives. And if we continue in that behavior, we can develop a hard heart that fails to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and the prompting and direction he wants to bring into our lives. The Bible talks a lot about hard hearts. I don't know whether you've ever met anybody that's got a hard heart, but you can't penetrate who they are. You can't get in there. You can't bring any change because they've got a hard heart. And sometimes our hearts towards God can be hard. He wants us to have soft, gentle hearts that listen to his prompting and directing. In all of this, wherever you are in your relationship with God, we must always remember that God is drawing us to himself. He never dismisses us. He never rejects us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to open the door and let him in? Because Jesus is always standing and knocking. We're his children. He doesn't let us go easily. But we can be rebellious and we can walk away. The story of the prodigal son just walked away from his father. But the love and grace of the father was always looking out for the son coming home, and he rejoiced when he came home. If you're in a position this morning where you're away from God, he's just standing at the door. He's waiting for you. God has started something in us that he wants to complete. He wants us to be living examples of his great work and transformation. We are his word on this earth. We are his example to those around us. And if we find that we are living in our own flesh, if we're living in with our own thoughts, we're doing our own thing, we can repent and ask forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit will reconnect with us and reconnect us to the vine, and we'll begin to grow that fruit again. Our aim here is to be followers of God and be his example to the world. to be strong believers, to be mature believers who stand firm at every point. No matter what comes our way, we're standing firm. We have made that decision that we are going to be obedient to him. And so, as we look at our world, and I've used this terminology over the last few months, as we look at our world, he's got to see something of the kingdom of heaven. But to see the kingdom of heaven, each of us has got to be living this life where we're connected to this Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in our lives and growing stuff in us that demonstrates who God is. It's just a decision. It's a daily decision whether we're going to follow Christ or not. And those times when we're struggling with that, we've got each other. That's what we're here for. That's what the family does. In that chapter, Ephesians 4, it says we are joined together. And where we are joined together, it causes growth. It causes something to happen, which is why the church is so important in our lives, because when we're joined together, we're growing together. When we join together, we can bring stuff into people's hearts and into their lives and cause growth. That's why you should be here every week, because it might not be you that's growing. You might be growing somebody else. It's really important, that concept. Let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit.